You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, welcome back to another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's kick this episode off like we do every week, and it's sharing one of you, our loyal listeners, who's using our hashtag on Instagram, #STRShareSunday. If you use it, we will find you and we will share you here on the pod. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at Little Wolf Lodge. Again, at Little Wolf Lodge. They are from Crestline, California, and it is a 1930s cabin. I want to go through a couple of things that I love. One of them is that they have a fireplace in not only the main gathering area, but also in the primary bedroom. Ooh. And they're original. I do think that they have installed electric logs, but still an amazing thing that you don't see very often in the primary bedroom in the short-term rental. So looks very luxurious. Another thing that I love that they have done in their listing, I was appreciative of it. They said they take organization and aesthetically pleasing very seriously around here. And the picture is of their kitchen utensils. And I love it because they have all black, I'm going to say silverware, but I guess it's not silverware if it's all black. But yeah, wait, I don't know. Now I'm
utensils?
Utensils. Thank you. I was like, well, I don't know. It's double tasking there. It's like not only showing you that they do care about the aesthetics, but what they're equipping the kitchen with, because it has all their plates and bowls, all their glassware. I just really liked like them weaving that in a simple post. And they just have some really great use. And I've not seen this as much in some Instagram profiles. They've used the mirrors in their home and used them to take reflections of what else is in the room. It's just something interesting I haven't really seen used that much, and I really enjoyed it on their feed. So well done at Little Wolf Lodge. Check them out, give them some love, and use our hashtag so we can give you some love.
Yeah, really well done. Okay, so we're going to get into today's episode, and listeners, get ready. We're going to interview a woman who left behind her corporate career for hosting, which while it's hard to do, it's not, you know, we've heard that story before, but here's a story you haven't heard. Is she made it her priority to get 70% direct booking. Let's hear how she did it. Today we have Carrie Gibson, who is a CPA who spent the first 22 years of her career in international technology and development for tax and accounting firms. So she likes numbers. And now she's got this short-term rental and she's obsessed, dare we say, with direct bookings and the power of her brand. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. This is a highlight. I have a little crush on both of you and your show, so I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we have a crush on your direct booking percentage. And so I think all of our listeners are going to be crushing hard too. But Carrie, could you take us back a little ways to, you know, your CPA days and how you've transferred into the short-term rental industry? We want to get the background.
Certainly. That's, I think, like many of us in the short-term rental industry, my path here was very winding and not clear and kind of ended up here unexpectedly. As you said, I started my career as a CPA, which I knew right away wasn't for me. I love numbers, but the traditional CPA role. So I ended up in technology back when software and financial technology was really new. So I was, they hired me and they were like, okay, taxes, it's kind of important. We don't know what you're going to do with you, but let's go. So I worked for a startup for 10 years. And then I joined a international multi-billion dollar company. And I think in 2010. So this is about 10 years into my career. And so going from a small startup to a huge international company was a big deal for me. I was a little overwhelmed at first, but in both parts, both of these jobs, I actually liaised with the government, which to me is like the crowning jewel of my corporate career. I love the government relations work so much, which obviously with everything going on in the industry now with regulation has helped us out. But I actually helped create some of the first bridges between the financial software industry and the IRS, Department of Treasury. And I actually was an advisor to the Obama administration when they implemented Obamacare, or the ACA Act. It was really, really cool. I got invited to the White House twice to testify on the impact of the implementation of the law into the tax system, which was, I kept my little nameplates, of course, Carrie Gibson, Walters Klor, White House invitee. So I worked there for 7 years and it was super interesting and super fun, but super intense. Like I said, international, it was just going 24/7, no time off, waking up for meetings all hours of the night. And along the way, I lost myself and I just hit a point of burnout. You know, and you hear people say burnout, but it's like a really, it's a real thing, you know, and I knew when I had my moments, I was like, this is not the path that I want my life to end up in. And I knew that and I had my moment. And so it was in January of 2017 on a Friday afternoon, I said, I have to make a change. And I spent my weekend writing my resignation letter and turned it in on Monday. And I did work out a 2-month notice because I was an executive. It was not something you could just walk away from. And so, yeah, so that was the end of that milestone, that point of my career. And honestly, when I left, I had zero clue what I was going to do.
I was going to say, did you know, like, hey, I went on this vacation, I found the spot. So this, you really had no next step.
No next step. And that was part of what scared me for so long in making the change, because I'd been talking about it with my husband and business partner for a few years, and he had encouraged me. We actually worked for the same company. He worked for the Canadian division and I worked for the US division. So he knew a lot of the pressure I was under. I had read an article, I think it was in Fast Company, that said, when you go, 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 and you know you need to make a change, you often have to walk away to give your time to decide what that change is going to be. Because before that, all I had heard was, don't make a change until you know what you're going to do. It's going to kill your career. And so I was paralyzed a bit by that fear of like, okay, you know, everyone says it's easier to get a job when you have another job, but I knew I didn't want that. So yeah, that article in Fast Company like really inspired me. I actually had it on my bedside for quite a while. But when I left, I just knew something else had to be out there. But my first step was to just rest and relax. Like the amount of black yoga pants in my laundry for like a month after was shocking. So the first thing I did was actually, I had moved to Quebec in 2015 full time, and I was living in an area where French is the primary language. So out of cultural and social responsibility, I moved to France for 3 months and learned French, which was amazing. It's not a hard way to sacrifice yourself, but that was really cool. I did learn French and I really focused on that and just resting and healing while I was there. When I came back, still had no idea what I was going to do. And we bought a house that was in the same neighborhood we lived at with the idea of flipping it. That, okay, I'm going to do this. I'll work with a contractor and I'm going to think about what comes next while I'm doing this. Because I'm just not a sit around kind of person, like at all. Like, honestly, I don't think I Netflix binged at all. Not one time. Like, well, during my sabbatical, which is kind of sad. So yes, I started that. So it was really therapeutic. We were doing the renovation, which I found I loved. But at the same time, I was also doing a lot of self-discovery and exploring. Like Simon Sinek's book, Know Your Why, was just like, oh my God. Like I still listen to it over and over. And then Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages, like really helped me sit down and think about myself and who I was, because I had lost my values along the way. My personal values, I was so out of touch with them. So at the end of about, I think it was like at 9 months, the house was done. I was attached to the house and we live in an area where STR is legal. And so I said, let's go for it. So we flipped it into a short-term rental. And what I found about during this year and the process and getting into STR is that it really aligned with my core values, which was so surprising because I'd taken the time, but we found we had a knack for design and decor and for renovating. Like taking something old that had such a soul that had just been let go and creating something beautiful out of it with a new character and a new chapter of its life was just like really fulfilling. And then I found in the hospitality part, like, one of my love languages is acts of service, you know, and from my time in corporate of being burned out and knowing how important my vacations were to me to be able to provide something for people where they could walk in and be like, this is it. This is vacation. I really feel that I can spend time in here. I feel relaxed right away and create moments with my family and friends. And still, that's what means the most to me when people, I guess, says to me, Carrie, I felt like I was really connected with my family, my friends. Everything was just what we needed. That fills my heart and soul more than anything because I know how hard it is to get those moments in our super crazy, fast-paced lives.
I want to ask a question about numbers because it sounded like you bought this your first property with the intention of flipping it. So I'm sure you were doing a lot of the numbers based on flipping this property. And you made it sound like it was a very quick decision, like, oh, we're just going to short-term rent it. But talk us through with you and your husband and business partner. Was it a quick decision? Did you run the numbers of like, wait, we were anticipating flipping it, getting these funds, maybe buying another? Talk us through the numbers and the discussions of putting it on the market versus keeping it yourself.
Yeah. So before we actually even bought the house and then before we flipped it, I had my Excel sheets. I was running scenarios left and right, you know, and like I was constantly, while we were renovating it, I was watching the market to see what prices were at, how much, you know, because we actually got the house for a really, really good deal with someone who had started a renovation and the house was completely destroyed on the inside and they were overwhelmed and just wanted out of it. Okay. So we were able to come in like at a really rock bottom price and take it off their hands, actually like within hours of it hitting the market. We moved really fast because we had talked about it on and off, but when this one hit the market, I called Philip and I was like, we have to buy this house. And he looked at it and he was like, yes, we do. He's like, call the realtor. And I called the realtor and we put an offer in front of her within a few hours. And so, yeah, it was literally on the market. I saw it at 7 p.m. and we had it off the market by 7 a.m. the next day.
This is the beauty of chatting with your partner. Like, I know there's a lot of people listening out there who maybe haven't dove in yet. And so you always wonder what that first step is. And it's doing that work of knowing what market you want to be in and why. What does the perfect scenario look like? You know, we call that the buy box. What's in your buy box? That way, when you shoot it with your partner, he saw right away, like, oh my gosh, this aligns perfectly with what you and I have been talking about.
Yes.
I'm sure aesthetically, numbers-wise, the whole thing. And then you get to be that person who you're always mad at when you put an offer in, they beat you to it. You know what I mean? Because you're there first and it's strong.
Yeah, I will say for the first 3 to 4 that we bought, yes, people were so mad at us because we got people like really, we got a reputation for like Ooh. Just being like the hoarders of the area.
That's so, okay.
Because yeah, there were other people like we're in a short-term rental friendly area. It's 4-season rental. Like the nice. Know the where, I am 2 kilometers from the second tallest ski mountain in Quebec. And 5 kilometers from the biggest lake in Quebec, nice. Which has a huge like water sports boating. It's amazing.
I want to put you on the spot. So listeners, we did not ask Carrie these questions before we hopped on. So this is not fair to her, but I want to ask her. And so Carrie, if you don't know, just say, I'm not sure. So what does your market look like? How are your properties performing? Are they high cash flowing? Was the cash on cash return ridiculous? Does it continue to be that way? Like any sort of numbers you can give us in terms of actual performance over the past few years?
Gosh, yeah. So I almost feel it's not fair just because of like where we are. So when I first started renting, it was like towards the end of 2018. So we were just starting out in 2018, building our properties, launching 2019. So we were renting for about 1.5 years. And I would say we were newbies. I was learning the market. Like I was not on my pricing game. I was constantly running my Excel spreadsheets, looking at the competition, really just learning. And then we had COVID. And here we were shut down, like completely shut down for 3 months. So I feel like that first 1.5 years, I was really building up and leading. And I would say our numbers weren't great at that point because I was still trying to get the credibility, get the experience, and learn the market. So yeah, I didn't have my pricing strategies in place. And I didn't know like the rotation of the seasonality and when people booked and how far in advance. But then COVID hit. And oh my goodness, because we are a drive-to location from Montreal, Quebec City, Toronto, Ottawa. We did not have a day off for 2 years. So we cash flowed incredibly well. It's really, really well. I would say well over 100% because our nightly rates were people were taking whatever day they could get to get out of the city. And there was no such thing as low season and shoulder season. We were kind of glad when the restrictions started letting up because us and our team, we were just exhausted. And it stayed like that through April of this year. And then we're seeing the same thing everybody else is like the brakes hit and we're right back into the trends of pre-COVID, which most of my experience in that is coming back because I had looked, you know, at all the tourism sites and gathered all the data there, which is how I was trying to figure my own strategies when we first started. So I'm able to look back and see, okay, like, because at first in May, I was like, God, who's going back to the corporate world? Like, we're going to have to rock, paper, scissors this one out. And it's just started picking up. So I think for us, we are back in what's going to be a regular flow of reservations and timing and shoulder season and low season. And we have to learn that. Like, I have to adapt my cash flow strategies. I have to adopt my perception for when reservations are going to come in. All of that has to change. And I'm looking back at historical data from the tourism sites to really help me with that. And that's really just been the past month where, you know, I was like, okay, you know, where I started digging those numbers out again, just to give myself a better feeling. And it's true, we're mirroring. So like right now, we're heading into summer and like reservations the past 2 weeks have just been nonstop. So we're picking back up and we're starting to get back our US and international guests as well. So we cash flowed really well, but I don't think it's a fair comparison going forward. I'm going to learn a lot in the next year. So let's chat again this time next year.
I want to unpack something you said really quickly before we carry on. You said something that you go on to tourism sites to look at historical data, I think is what you said there. Can you explain that to us, what you're
Definitely.
Looking for?
Yes. The government sites often out there, the tourism board. So I use Statistics Canada, I use Statistics Quebec, and then Statistics Eastern Townships, which is the region that we're located in. So federal, province, and then region. And so because of my knowledge of government organizations from my whole entire career, like I've always worked with the IRS, Department of Treasury, I know that there's all this data that's out there. And I knew it had to be the same for this industry. So before we even, because my dream was before we even bought the first house to flip, I was looking at bed and breakfast, okay. Right? Everybody's dream. But I mean, though that just made that business sense, made that business case made no sense anyway. I sliced and diced it in the community we were in. So that's when I started going out and looking like, what is working? Once we were flipping this house, and I thought, So that's the first place I went was to Touristics Canada and then into Touristics Quebec, Tourism Quebec. And there is a ton of data out there. And it was, especially at the Quebec level, really well broken out, not only by accommodation, but accommodation type, from five-star hotel down to rustic camping. So I was able to get right in there for our region and our type. So there is more information out there, I think, than people are aware of, because this is how budgets are set in government. They have to make their case just like anyone else. And so to prove their case, they have to have the numbers. And so those numbers are available to anybody if you just want to start digging.
Carrie.
That's good.
Yeah. Like I kind of want to hang out with you, but then I kind of am like, also like, what's going on with your like head? I'm like, we're going to all the stats. No, that's a great, I just wanted to bring that, you kind of like just glossed over it because it's like part of your activity, but I wanted our listeners to know that too. So we flip this house, we hold on to it. Your cash line, I know you also said your partner is no longer, your husband is no longer working corporate. Take us through after that house goes live. What are the next steps to this, you guys completely changing, you pivoting your whole lives?
Certainly. So we took it live. And right after we bought it, another Shelly came on the market. And so our next series of houses, our next two after that, actually never even hit the market because people started calling us and saying, like the neighbors of our others, and saying, hey, we're going to sell this chalet. Do you want to buy it? And we jumped on both of them right away. When we jumped on them, I had no idea. So all of a sudden, I went from having one that was on the market to two right behind it. And in this time, my husband changed jobs and actually moved to Vancouver. So I'm prepping all of these chalets, including our house that we once lived in, for rental. So we had our chalet and the one that we had just done, and then one that was in okay shape that I was able to furnish at the time just for, and another one that was another like complete disaster. Like when I took down the first wall, squirrel party for years. Yeah. My husband was working in Vancouver. I was kind of doing the back and forth, but I was really focused on getting as many properties as we could up and going. Because here's the thing, the other place where we're at, it's a sound investment. Like I already knew that because where we're located between the mountains and the lakes, and it's one of the most known vacation areas in Canada, I'm always going to be able to sell these houses. Especially, I was buying them at rock bottom prices because they were in horrible shape. So with me doing the work and working with contractors, we slowly built up to an inventory of four over the next 3 years. And then my husband moved back to Montreal. His business, the company he worked for, transferred him back there. And COVID hit. And so we moved back into one of our chalets and we were working, and he was just so unhappy. And the opportunity came up with the fallout is they decided to sell the branch of the business he was working for. And they offered him a buyout package and he jumped on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he jumped on it. And so the thought was, you know what? He's going to spend the next 6 months to a year. We're going to ride out COVID and see how it goes. And we acquired another chalet during COVID, like as it was going on. So that was number six. And he and I actually fully renovated that one top to bottom by ourselves. Because in addition to being a finance person, he's also a very handy person. He says if he had a career do-over, he would be an architect. But he learned how to do everything. And some of his friends are in contracting and construction. And they really mentored us. And, you know, of course, we hire out like electric and plumbing. But as far as like all of the work of just building and decorating, like the non-technical stuff, it's like we really jumped in and did that together. And we found that we worked pretty well together. Our design aesthetic at that point, like you said, we'd been doing it 3 or 4 years. He was always having input to what I was doing. And this is not like all hunky dory. We had some pretty big explosions where it was like, I'm not giving in. This is what I want. But we've also found when we compromise our two ideas together is where we get the beauty of what we've done. But yeah, so after that one, we're like, we think we can do this. To be very upfront, though, the houses were, that was the beginning of COVID. We were just starting to cash flow because of COVID. And we knew that we had to make a significant shift in our lives and how we spent money, because we were, for the first time in our lives, going to have no regular salary coming in. So that required us to redo a personal look too of like, how do we live our lives personally? Where do we spend our money in order that we can give this a shot? So we did a lot of adjusting of how we spend money, where we put our money, the extras that we have, those types of things. we like to say we traded money for happiness because we truly did, but it has come with a fair amount of sacrifice and learning and starting over in some ways, but it's come with a lot of happiness and leading and creating our own path.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings, and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan. Speaking of money, really quick, because we have so many other questions to ask you too about where you're at now, but when it came to buying all these houses, how were you doing that financially? Was it because of the lucrative corporate careers, or like, were you guys paying all cash? Did you have a private money lender? How did you guys do that?
So the first couple were cash. We both did have lucrative corporate careers. He was still working. So the first two, we bought with cash and paid for the renovations out of pocket. Again, we save on that significantly by me being involved. And then Philip was also working on the weekends when he lived here and was here. So we were able to save a significant amount doing that. We are now at the point where we have a combination of bank lenders and private investors. But like, we've paid off all the private investors. So now we have two that are fully paid for out of pocket. And then we have four that we fully paid for the renovations, but we have a mortgage on, you know, we put 20% down and then we have a mortgage on the rest for us going forward, because we are out of the personal cash that we want to invest in this. We don't want to touch retirement and those types of things. So we'll either be pulling equity out of the houses or going the private investment route. We have people all the time asking if they can invest. We'll have to think about both of them to be straightforward. I love that we drive and make 100% of the decisions ourselves. And anytime you bring in a partner, no matter who they are, family, friend, you know, that dynamic shifts. Where Philip's actually out right now finishing up the last bathroom renovation for one of our chalets. And then the six that we have on the market are just like rocking and rolling, complete cash flowing now. No more renovations. So we have some big financial decisions to make this year as well.
I'm going to ask a very naive question here. Your chalets, is there something that defines it as a chalet? Is there something about the home that, quote unquote, it's now a chalet?
Yes.
Okay, what is that?
It's architecturally.
Okay.
So the design is the back half of the house is sloped. It's like the back half of the house is an A-frame, but the front is not. So our houses are like, the back is 100% sloped down to the ground, and then the front is just a slope to the first level windows.
Okay. And would you buy outside of a chalet, or is that in your buy box? Like, it has to be a chalet.
It is not in the buy box.
Okay.
So it was at the beginning, because we actually live in the neighborhood. We don't live next to any of them, but we're close to all of them. So literally we can ride our e-bike if we need to go service a chalet, which is really nice. My team is really close, but it is not a requirement anymore. And in fact, we're looking at different options right now. Right now, the properties here are so hot because of COVID, and while the rest of the market's cooling, it's not here. We almost have to go out of our buy box and redefine our brand and like how we make it fit in, because our brand is really become quite well known in the area. So If we did something else that didn't align with it, we'd almost have to start a different company.
That's what I was going to ask, because it is your brand name. So let's talk about, you know, you've got these listings up, you're direct booking. Let's get into that a little bit.
Yes.
Did you even know about direct booking when you got started? Were you just on the OTAs? Let's spill the tea on how you got to the 70%, because I know our listeners want to know. And we want to know.
So I started out on the OTAs like everybody, because at first I had no idea if this was even going to be a thing. I'd done all my research to see, but yes, I started out on the OTAs. Plus I was renovating chalets. I did not have the capacity or the bandwidth to even really think about it. I don't even know how I knew how, but I knew direct booking was an option from the get-go. So I was like, first, I'm going to see if this is even a thing before I pay any attention to this concept of direct book. When I knew it was going to be a thing, I immediately became intent on direct book, because one thing coming from my corporate background, you don't want to ever build your house on someone else's land. I know that is such an overused phrase right now, but it is so important. Like, if you build something good and successful and then someone else comes along and says, I'm going to use that for something else, you've got no recourse except to unpack it. And so I fully 100% believe in guiding your own destiny and building your own business. Even when I was in corporate, when I was looking at new products to develop, I was looking at the buy, build, partner. You always want to build. You might partner to get you off and started, get you to market faster. But at the same time, you need to be building to get yourself to have your own solution that you own. Because at any point in time, any of the OTAs, but most notably Airbnb, they can switch up their strategy at any point in time, and you're held hostage to that. Like right now, they've got this huge focus on going back to rooms in people's houses, back to their roots, so they're saying. And so you never, ever know. And the vacation rental industry is changing so much. Airbnb is going to react the way they're going to react. And they can also decide at any point in time to pull your listing for honestly no good reason, just based off of word of mouth of someone else. And so I just refuse to put my heart and soul into building something that someone else has the right to take away. So yeah, so that was just firmly instilled in me, is that I needed to own my own business.
Go ahead. What are the steps? Like, take us back to you starting this. Give our listeners some digestible next steps for them. They are only on Airbnb right now. What yep. would you advise them to do? Like, what can they do that's digestible for them to take action?
So a direct book strategy is not just about having a website. Like, I want to emphasize that, because a lot of people, I think they'll build a website and they will come, and that's simply not the case. There is a lot that goes into the strategy of having it. Not only do you need to have a website, you also need to have a verified Google business profile. You need to start your social streams, and you need to have good content that will drive all that in. Now, back to your question of said where you start, that's all very overwhelming. And like, I've been doing this for 5 years, and there's still steps that I haven't completely finished and going through. So I would say the first thing to do is to write out your set of requirements of what you need in a digital presence. And I'll be honest, a lot of these things I got, I was like, I know I need a website. I know I need a way to collect payment. I know I need a reservation system that goes with it. But do you know how I built most of my requirements? Because I didn't know that much about direct booking sites. I went to all of the vendor sites and started reading about what they did. And I built a spreadsheet that had all of the different capabilities that they had on there. And then, you know, I, you know, identified the vendor, and then I was able to align with where I knew I wanted to take my business, with completely independent. So I knew I wanted to be independent of the OTAs, that I wanted to be able to provide guests a digital experience, and that I needed a channel manager and a PMS. Like, those were my basics right there. And so when I was going through that, it was very young market. This was 2018. So the most important thing to me at that point was roadmap. I have to say, if I was reevaluating right now, it would be these. There's some really powerful tools out there that my process, I think, would be a bit different. But I ended up going, for me, the vendor I chose, I have not regretted. And the biggest reason I haven't regretted them is because they checked all my initial boxes: PMS, CMS, website, and payment processing and reservation system. And they continue to innovate and release updates. And the other thing is, for me, customer support. Like, they rock. And they rocked during my, they were also the best during my interview process and my demo processes with like answering questions and getting there. And they haven't let me down on that. So I think the first thing, because there's so many options out there, is getting familiar with what's out there, creating that list, and then identifying like where you want to take your business. Like for me, this was going to be my full-time business income where I was going. So I needed something that was going to be a very robust tool and that had a very robust marketplace eventually. And then from there, and my website, when I started was very basic. I mean, it was like, here's the properties book. There was nothing fluffy about it at all. And you can't start fluffy. Fluffy comes with time, like all of the activities that go around it, the telling of the story, all of that comes with time. But the most important thing I did after that, that I think gets overlooked a lot, is getting verified your Google business profile. Mm-hmm. That establishes you as, I own this land. I own this property. I'm a real business. And so then, because any website you're going to get, it's going to need to be verified by Google. So getting that process out of the way, you're already an established business, especially if you can start getting reviews there, even before you have a website, asking guests that were very near and dear, hey, will you go leave me a review? Helped out a lot. And then I would say just starting the social streams. And that was, I had a Facebook page for 6 months before my husband was like, this is ridiculous. And went out there and made a post.
That's like, okay. At least you got it. You gotta, yeah. Step by step. So I've got a ton of questions for you that I hope our listeners are also asking so I can satiate them. But okay, let's talk about Google. You have more than one property. Do you have Google for Business for each individual property, or is it for your umbrella brand? Start with that. What did you decide was right for you?
So I have two Google business profiles. The way our three chalets are on one street and three chalets are on another. Ah. So the three on each road that are close by are under one umbrella. The reason that is that I personally would have a different one for each chalet if I could, but Google wouldn't let me because they were so close together. They're like, no, 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 this is the same business. Mm. So I was able to do different ones. And the reason I would do them all differently if I could is because that's how many times you show up on the Google map when you tie Google chalet for rent in Orford, I would have six properties showing up instead of two.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. And then when it comes to, yes, you had your channel manager and your digital presence and a really basic website and a way to collect money, but you have a 70% direct booking rate. And you said that you were cash flowing like crazy. So your occupancy was up there. What do you think the biggest driver for conversions were for you? Was it inviting past guests to come back? Was it the Google search and just having them, the chalet being the name? What was that thing that converted lookers into bookers?
We have a 40% return guest rate. The lowest hanging fruit anytime you build a direct book site is return guests and referral guests, right? So those are people that are probably more than likely going to book. All they need is a place is to pay now, right? Book now. So the fanciness doesn't matter to them because they've either experienced it or they've heard from someone that's raving about it and you have to experience it. I think the next thing after that converted was our Google business profile because people were just going and looking from everywhere and they were typing Shelley's for rent or for Shelley's for rent, Easter Townships. And at the time, we were one of the very few Google verifieds that was not a hotel and all of the hotels were closed down. So it was just the only thing that could rent then was standalone establishments like short-term rental. So that was definitely a huge converter for us. Then as I built out our social, one of the things that COVID allowed me to do was I collaborated with micro influencers in the area who created content. And I say micro influencers because they specialize in the region, right? So it's not a huge influencer that has people from all over the world following whose their chances of ending up right here are pretty slim to none. So some local influencers and we're in outdoor areas. So in ski and outdoor sports, we're dog friendly people with dogs. So collaborating with them and they came in and they created the content. They created the posts, the socials. We created the experience. So that's how we actually skyrocketed our social was with micro influencers. And the stick rate is really high because they're micro influencers and they're people that will actually are interested in the brand. So you'll see a lot of times people after an influencer or a giveaway, your followings will skyrocket and then they plummet. We don't have that because we kind of tend to stick locally. I'm branching that strategy out into Ontario and New England right now as people are like full back into their travel habits. So that has been, I know there's a lot of disagreement out there about influencers, but absolutely. For me, they work. And again, it's micro influencers. It's people who speak to your niche.
So the listeners were hearing that, but give us an idea of, is it 2,000 followers? Is it 10,000? Like, what are you defining? Like, where did you see that success with? Like, can you give us actual numbers around micro?
Yes. So I do everything from 3,000. I had a journalist who does dog friendly content creation here this past weekend to 3 months ago. I had one over 100,000 followers that actually was hooked up through our local tourism. They connected me with her. So if you guys want to talk about getting involved in local tourism boards. So I would say my sweet spot though for where they hit is probably around the 50, 60,000 is where I'll hit most. But honestly, I've had some 15 and 20,000 that also did really, really well.
Thanks You're for defining need- that because 50 to 60 doesn't, it, like I when I think micro, I think more of the 3,000, not the 50, 60.
But also, micro comes into too, like who is their reach? So yes, the number of followers and of course that engagement rate, but also for us, if it's Columbus tourism or Columbus dog content, that micro in terms of reach is also... It sounds like you were super concentrated on literally your area.
And my niche. Like, I know who my guests are and why they're coming to me.
Right.
I have to say, on my first collaboration, I was nervous as heck, but I'm like, what am I giving up? A couple nights stay? And it was amazing. They still create content for me. Now, for me, there's a dual purpose when I do a collaboration, and it is either reach of their social or their content. They create beautiful visuals. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons our website also converts very well now past Google and all, but is because we have beautiful pictures and video on there that we've invested in over time. You could put the most beautiful scene in the world in front of me and it would look like a hippopotamus took the picture. And so I know I can't do it. So
stick to the spreadsheets, Carrie. Stick to the spreadsheets.
Right, exactly. I know.
Yeah, you're not snapping any photos. You just said you know your client, you know what they're looking for. Let's talk about your brand and who wants to enjoy the hygge.
I put a lot of thought into who I wanted to serve because in our area, we have everything from value to high-end luxe. And neither one of those speaks to me. In fact, like the word luxury just makes my skin crawl. It makes me think of high maintenance people who you can never please. I know that's not it, but that's how I feel. And I avoid that word in my marketing as much as I possibly can. But I knew I wanted to look for people who, for where they were staying, was as much of the experience of the vacation. It's not just a place to sleep, but a place they intend to hang out. People who want to enjoy the outdoors and whatever realm that speaks, because not only do we have a ton of outdoor activities, we also have beaches, we have amazing Nordic spas, you know, we have live music, but people who being in the outdoors is good for their soul, where they want to stay as an experience, they do tend. So we're in the upper 75th percentile of the market as far as pricing goes. So they're not price sensitive and they tend to be people with either no kids or older kids, because they're coming to do an activity, get out and about. And we're in the mountains, like you're pushing a stroller up the hill, you know, up the biking trail or up the is not a whole lot of fun. So we tend to start seeing people in the middle part of their career who are high stress, getting away, and the outsides is their go-to.
That's such a hot tip, Carrie, for everyone listening, because we feel like we have to use certain trigger words to get someone's attention. But it's like, you don't want just anyone's attention, because if they come and stay with you and they don't have a good time, just that reflects on your reviews, whether it's on Google or the OTA. So, because I've stayed at places, right, when back in the day when we used to do consulting and people would use the word luxury in their listing and you're like, this is so far away from luxury. Like, it's not bad, Sometimes it was bad.
Right. But you could just tell they were using the word.
Yeah, it's like, this is not luxury. And so you're going to attract these people and it's not going to be a good situation for either party. And I love that you're giving permission to say, you don't have to be luxury in order to be successful. You can be who you are. Attract who wants to stay there, and that it's going to be a match yes. made in heaven and they're going to love it.
I love the way you say that. Yes, that is 100% the case. I think exactly what you're saying. One of the keys to being successful in hospitality is being authentic to like who you are and the experience you want to provide, and don't shy away from it. Like, I'm very clear on what we do and don't provide and what the experience is going to be. And if I'm talking to someone on the phone or emailing and they're asking for an experience that I don't provide, I have a very good relationship with all the other short-terms around here. I will happily refer them mm-hmm. to someone else because I want them to have an amazing time. And just because I'm not a fit this time doesn't mean 3 vacations down the line, I'm not the right fit for the group that they're having come. But yeah, the last thing I want is a guest to come and to fall short because we were not clear on who we are and what we provide.
What don't you? Like, what are the most common things you're like, nope, don't provide that, not going to, and they do choose someone else?
Spas. Wait. Outdoor hot tubs and spas.
Oh, none of the chalets have hot tubs or spas?
Nope.
Still killing it.
I want to know, what's the spreadsheet say, though, if you install them?
But sometimes money doesn't matter.
Spreadsheet?
I'm just asking. Yeah, what's the spreadsheet
says that I will make more revenue. The off spreadsheet says I will lose the credibility I have in the community and with the local government to create an experience that honors the culture and the spirit.
See, that's why everything doesn't fit in a spreadsheet.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And this is another thing I am very clear on. We're in nature, but we're a community of 288 ski chalets that were built in the 1960s. It's a very iconic place in Quebec. Everybody knows the Cheribot, the place with the orange roof. So when you look at our pictures, you'll see everything has the orange chalet roof. You're going to see your neighbors. You're going to hear your neighbors if everyone's outside having a barbecue at the same time. And yeah, and you can expect to have a community experience because we're very walk and dog friendly. Everybody's always out. So it is a little community. And we choose not to have hot tubs because of the noise factor mm-hmm. with it being so close. And many of our chalets, while set beside, also has, you know, a retired person lives next door that doesn't want to hear someone who, while not partying at 11 p.m., is out in the hot tub that's loud, having a beer, talking with their people, and just noise escalates. And we're very clear. And when people ask, well, we say we don't have spas, and when they ask why not, we tell them that. They're like, oh, I get that. That makes sense.
Got it.
And yeah. I would say that's probably, we do have people say, but we really want a spa. And I'll say, great, you know, and I will tell them people that I know that do have spas, but I'll also tell you those people have neighbors that make their lives not fun as soon as there's too much noise at 11 p.m.
Well, you said you left your other job to find happiness. So also it's like, yes, you'll make more money, but if that impacts your happiness too, and being a business owner, it's like, heck yeah, you get to make that decision and you know what you're missing out on, but you don't care. You know what I mean? Like those are the perks of being a business owner that I don't know that we lean into enough.
I agree.
We could talk business all day. I have one, it's kind of a big question because it could be a whole episode in itself. Talk to us about how you leverage your email marketing. How big of a component is that for you and your conversions, inviting guests back? And if you could just in a real quick, like what do those sequences look like after a guest stays? Do you touch them every month? What does that look like?
So to be fully transparent, it needs to be bigger. We're really focused on right now, we have around 1,000 email addresses. The biggest way that we have been collecting is through cards that we leave in the chalet that says sign up for our email list and get 10% off, you know, and they can leave their email and we sign them up, or they were already guests and they come to our website. They can of course sign up on our website. We have the subscribe here, but really, you know, with the cards, we're trying to get at the OTA guest or the guest that didn't book that was there. But we are in the process, hopefully it goes live next week, of launching Enzo. And one of its components is the email collection, like a StayFi. Mm-hmm. So really being able to elevate that. Right now, we email them once a month, and our email, and we don't like to spam. So our once a month email has a chalet spotlight. So we talk about something we've been doing with the chalets. We have a local activity spotlight. So we highlight, you know, whether it's the cross country ski trails are open or hey, boat season has started, whatever it may be. And then we highlight a local business. So, you know, something to do near the chalet. So they really feel like they're getting a taste of the region, because for us, they come here for the region, not just for the chalet. And so the more we can talk about their more inclusive experience, the better it is. We do email once in a while when we have a promo or a special, but I want to grow that email list and I want to be more consistent with emails, because it's not the biggest conversion. It could be like when I really have a it converts when we send a promo.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can 100% be doing that, more of that. We've been collecting email addresses for 2 years now. And so that is one of our strategies this year, is to increase that, because that's the only thing that you own, like is your email, your podcast, you know, what that everything else is owned by someone else that can choose to do something different, that can choose to deactivate your account. You know, I have an amazing friend who provides the candles for our chalets, over 10,000 followers. She still doesn't know why. Instagram killed her account.
Mm.
She had to start all over. So your email address, your podcast, your owned assets are really important. And I need to do more with building those up.
You're crushing it, Carrie.
What is your paid marketing budget? What percentage of your revenue are you spending on that?
So I'm spending $500 a month.
Oh.
Right now, love it.
Yep.
$500 a month split equally right now between Google and Meta, Facebook, Instagram. And right now it's high because I'm leading into right now is summer season. People still booking for that more or less. But we're also starting to get bookings for ski season. That is the other benefit to the new planning, the new ebbs and flows of post-COVID travel, is people are getting more comfortable with booking mm-hmm. further out.
Yeah.
So sure. we're having more demand for ski season that we've never had before. I only took reservations 6 months in advance. I recently opened the calendars for 9 months in advance because of that reason. We'll go down during low booking season, like September, October, and April, May, I have learned or for reservations, so I'll probably take it down. Oh, and one thing that we just did, I'm super excited about, is we just took out a print ad in one of the biggest health and wellness magazines in Quebec. That was
You're going to have to let us know how that goes.
So I am going to be able to, because I have a QR code on the ad inside, and then on the emails that they send out for all of their, because we're on the front cover on the inside. That was quite an investment, but it's our target market. It's one of our official business partners. And so even from all the email communications, that it all goes to the same landing page you can only get to from clicking on a link or QR code. So I'm going to be able to track whether or not.
Exactly. Your return on investment. Love that.
That's amazing.
You were just very diligent on doing your due diligence before you chose the direct booking, your PMS, DMS. Who did you choose? People are probably like, she just said the vendor. Who is the vendor?
Lodgify.
Okay. We want to share that, because I know they're like, wait a second, you did all this research and you're beaming about it. So we want to make sure that we gave that. Also.
I don't regret my choice with them. There's so many like Hostfully and, you know, so many that have come along since that I know are absolutely crushing it too, that I would definitely be giving a fair eye to, or if I were making the decision today.
Mm-hmm.
But a Lodgify is the hub of our business. And so for me to untangle Lodgify, for me to use the software, it has to plug in to Lodgify. Yeah. And right now I would have to back everything out.
No.
It would just be a nightmare. And my experience with them is so great. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no reason to leave them, to even look anywhere else.
But I love what you just said, because a lot of people want to like jump, you know, platform to platform, and got to like sink your teeth in, learn it. And then, like you said, untangling it can't be fun. The third and last question is like, we need to come hang out and like see these chalets in person. This is just, we're super thankful that you've been on the show, but we need to bring ourselves to you now since you've shared our time with us.
Is that a question or a demand?
It's both. It's both.
No, I would be love to have you guys and your family. So anytime, you just let me know.
I will find
you a chalet.
Let's get other people.
We'll book direct.
Yes. Look at other people booking direct. Where can people reach out to you if they want to talk more business? They want to book a stay in this. I don't even like outdoors and I'm interested in seeing your area. So where can they find out more about you?
Hey, Sarah, we have wineries too. We're on the wine route. We're on the cheese route.
We're on the
French gourmand route. So like I said, it's not just outdoor. I didn't hit on those at all. We have everything.
Carrie, you've got impressive direct booking, but I feel like you are in the sweet spot of the world.
I want to invest in Carrie. Like, this is Carrie. You know what you were doing. So yeah.
Just to add this little icing on top of the cake, our region was named one of the top 52 places to visit in the world by the New York Times this year. So we are pretty amazing. So come see us in the Eastern Township. So I am so passionate about this and I love, love, love helping others. So please, anyone, don't hesitate to send me questions. There's our website. And so our email address is on there. So it's just info@chaletsadvocate.com UGGE. I'm sorry. I'm saying it in French in my name, in my head, trying to do it in English. So, and then our Instagram handle is the same @chalets_UGA. And then same for Facebook and then YouTube as well. And so hopefully soon Pinterest. It's my new passion, new interest.
Yes, Pinterest is a good interest. So we will, of course, put all those in the show notes, listeners. So if you're driving, if you're on the treadmill, if you're in the shower, don't you worry.
You're cleaning toilets at your short-term rental.
Cleaning toilets, folding fitted sheets. I hope you're folding them the way
with a duvet.
Annette and I showed you on Instagram. We have those in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time. With that, I am Sarah Karakhan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.